In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I'm looking at a book today that I haven't often preached from. And the book is... I have to unplug this. The book is the book of H-A-G-G-A-I, Haggai. Haggai. It's not very long. But let me just tell you what's been happening. Haggai was one of the people that had been deported to the Babylonian exile. And he's come back to Jerusalem. Okay, so he comes back to Jerusalem, and what does he see? He sees the temple in disrepair. Oh, the people remembered how gorgeous the temple was, how beautiful it was, and now it's in disrepair. It's completely, completely, you know, ruined. Everybody's discouraged. Everybody's discouraged. Now God speaks to the prophet, because everybody was told about how beautiful the temple was. They'd been away in Babylon for 70 years. They come back and they find nothing on Mount Zion but rubble. They are discouraged. This is a message for those who are discouraged. Listen. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, "This people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet. Is it time for you, you who dwell in your houses, and the house of the Lord lays waste? Now consider thus, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you don't have your fill. You clothe yourself, but you're not warm. You earned wages, and you put your wages in a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain. Bring wood. Build the house. I will take pleasure in it. I will be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, says the Lord? Because my house is in a waste, and you run every man unto his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground brings forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon the labor of the hands of people." Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, he's the governor, and Joshua, the high priest, with the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spoke Haggai the Lord's message in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, "I am with you, says the Lord." And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, that's the governor, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. I'm going to tell you this, my friends. I'm going to tell you this, because God was not getting his due. The land had an economic recession, depression. Because God was not getting what he needed to get from his people. That was reverence, that was to build the house of the Lord, that was to have a place again where the sanctuary of God would be rebuilt. As a result, when you turn away from the Lord, when you turn away from the Lord, I'm going to tell you, your land, your farms, it all shows up. Listen, next chapter. Oh Lord, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet a little while and I will shake the heavens, and I will shake the earth, and I will shake the sea and the dry land. I will shake the nations, and the desires of all the nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord. All the silver is mine, all the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. I will shake the heavens, and I will shake the earth, and I will bring in the gold and the silver, so that my house will be rebuilt. But as long as you're caring about your own house, your own property, and you're not caring for the Lord and for the Lord's needs in the world, and even worse, you sin against the Lord and you put your back against him and you curse him and you don't respect life and you kill life from at every level, old and young, I tell you, my friends, the very earth, the very economy will respond to that. That's where we are today. That's where we are today. The Bible speaks to our needs, but who will hear the message and repent? Oh, yes, we've built our own houses. Oh yes, we've thought of our own needs. Oh yes, we've placed God outside the realm of our lives. We've placed Jesus outside the realm of our lives. And we've decided that we would do our own thing. And the Lord says, you eat and you're not full. You drink and you're still thirsty. Your crops do not bear what you need. I have withheld the dew. I'm telling you, this is a covenanted country. It was covenanted with God through Jesus Christ by our founding fathers. And we have walked away from that covenant. And right now, we are suffering for it. We are suffering for it. You know what makes me laugh? I don't listen to Glenn Beck very often, but when I hear the commercials, Glenn Beck says 40 days of prayer. I don't understand why Glenn Beck would call people to pray on their knees when we do not hear that from all the churches, because we are in perilous times. It's amazing to me. I don't know if it's amazing to you. I don't care what you think about Glenn Beck, okay? It makes no difference what you think. I'm telling you, he sounds more like a preacher than he does like a talk show host. And I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm going to prophesy. He's talking about God now, but if he ever starts talking about Jesus and interchanges the word Jesus for God, I'm going to tell you, he'll get thrown off the air. He'll get thrown off the air. He's talking about God now. You see, God will not be mocked. What we sow is what we reap. We saw in Mattapan last week a mother and a baby being shot dead. When I heard on the news last night, I just wanted to wail that the baby was in the casket with the mother. But we have legalized violence. We've legalized violence. We call it a woman's choice. So what do? We are teaching violence. The violence in the womb, and more than that, the violence at the end of life, when they starve people. Then the violence that's done to the individual, the cells, embryonic stem cells, yeah. You know, we have taught violence. We have grown violence. And violence is what we reap. This is very unfortunate. You know, that a baby and a mother would be just killed in cold blood. But this is happening all over. People being shot at. We have taught violence. And violence is what we're reaping. I remember when I was in the State House when they were doing the embryonic stem cell research, and they talked about, shall we do this or shan't we do this? And it was all in the bag. They had already decided. But I remember I spoke the last word, and I said to the senators and the representatives, I said, I want you to know that you are sowing violence. As you take these little individuals, God will not be mocked. You will see the violence in the city of Boston that will increase. And it will be your fault. It will be your fault. I know they thought I was some pious Paul, but you know, I said today a prophet is speaking to you. I want you to know that when we do not give God His due, when we do not give God His due, everything suffers. It takes time for the tower to fall, but brick by brick, the tower becomes weaker and weaker until it does fall. So the point is this. When are we going to give the Lord His due? For Haggai, they were called to rebuild the temple and not get discouraged. For us, what does it mean? That we love the Lord our God with our whole heart, our whole soul, our whole mind, that we spend time with Him, that we repent of our sins. That we call upon Jesus to do a new thing in us. That on November 2nd we go out and vote. And we vote our conscience. But that we pray for this nation, one nation under God. Because I'm going to tell you, greater nations than this have fallen apart. Greater nations than this have been destroyed. Greater kingdoms. Unfortunately, this nation was a covenanted nation, which means God holds us more responsible. because it was offered to Jesus Christ. Therefore, like the church, he holds the church more responsible even than the nation, because the church represents him. And when we fall away from him, from his spirit, when we care about our stuff and not his stuff, we reap the whirlwind. It's like dust in the wind. This is biblical. And this is what we're experiencing now. And there's only one way back, and that's to get on our faces and to repent. There's only one way back, and that's to tell the Lord, we have sinned against you. We have done our own thing. We have spit in your face, really. But now we come back. And it's never late, too late to come back. It's never too late to begin again. It's never too late. But I tell you, if this United States continues to go the way we're going, it will not be the land of the free and the home of the brave anymore. It will not be the place where anyone can succeed if they worship God and then apply themselves. But you know, who will hear the message? Who will hear the message that what is happening in our country economically, as in the book of Haggai, is happening here because we have given up God, Christ, and we have done our own thing? Who will hear the message? It seems that if the churches don't proclaim this, then God will have Glenn Beck do it. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Well, Jesus said the same thing when he was walking into Jerusalem during the Palm Sunday March, and all the children are crying Hosanna to the Son of David, and they said, tell them to shut up. And Jesus said, if these don't proclaim, the very rocks and stones will proclaim. This is real stuff. This country of ours is really on the verge either of destruction or of new birth. And it depends upon what we do with the Lord. And to get rid of the violence. To get rid of the violence. If you do not think abortion is violent, you must stand outside a mill and watch when the poor woman comes out, like her spirit has been broken. Not one comes out smiling. Not one comes out smiling. It's like a shattered glass. Two people ruined, a baby killed, and a woman whose life has been taken from her. They're like hollow shells. And yet, what you do to the least, you do to me, Jesus said. It is real time for the church to repent. All of us. It is time for us to repent that we have placed God outside the realm of our lives. Have you ever gone to church to go to a mass. I've got been to different churches, many churches. When you walk in to the church, everybody's talking. Not in our church. But I will tell you this, at First Communion, because people don't come to church here, they just come for First Communion. I walked in and it was I couldn't deal with it. I got out the microphone and I said, "Excuse me, this is not a bar room. This is a place of prayer. And we're not here to be discussing things. After the Mass, you can do what you want. But we are getting ready that these children are going to be receiving the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a bar room. This is the house of God." We have a priest from Ghana. And you know what he says? He says, "I've been to many churches." He said, "There's so little reverence before Mass." He says, "But not here." He says, "Not here at Holy Rosary. The people are really quiet. They're praying before Mass." Again, we don't have many people, but they know what to do. You know, it's just like, you know, what are we here for? You know, we're here to celebrate. Yeah. No. We're here to worship and celebrate. And we need to get ready for what's going to happen as we hear the Word of God and celebrate the Eucharist. You know. What's happening in our land is a direct result of Haggai not giving God his right place and taking from God that which he considers most sacred, and that's life. And so the economy will respond, and we're all suffering. People are suffering. I know, they come to me, they're suffering. I need rent money. I need food money. The other day, as we were on our way to Syracuse, I got a call from Father Ulrich. Okay? Now, when Father Ulrich calls, he's from Haiti, I know he wants money. So I said, "Father Ulrich, what can I do for you?" He says, "How are you?" I said, "I'm fine, but what do you want?" I just came right to it. He said, "I need $5,000 to pay my teachers." I said, "I can't give that to you, but I can give you $2,000. Anyway, when I thought about it, not only could I give him $2,000, but we added $1,000 from the parish. That was $3,000. Then I was in Syracuse, and on Friday night, I asked the pastor if I could take a collection. He says, "You won't get much, maybe $200. I said, "I want to take this collection for Father Ulrich, because he needs $5,000 to pay his teachers." Well, I got a collection of $4,900. Then there was $1,500 more. We got $9,500 to send Father Ulrich, $5,000 to care for the teachers, and $4,500 for the orphans that he has. He took 100 orphans after the earthquake. He has to feed them. Has to buy the beds. But you see how that all came into my lap? I could have gone to that service and you know, not thought about the people in Haiti. But I figure, you know, Father Ulrich called me. Let's see what we can raise for Father Ulrich. I'm going to put something else to you right now. We talk about the unborn. I'm telling you, the friends of the unborn, if you've never sent them money, please send them money. Please send them money. And you know, you can send it right to me. send it right to me. And I'll give it to them. They are $13,000. They care for unwed mothers and their babies. They take people off the street. It would be the biggest shame if this place closed. It would be the biggest shame if this place closed. So why don't you send it to me, and you send it to Father Tom, Holy Rosary, Winthrop, 02152, all over the country. All over the country. I'm going to give them $1,500. But you know, these people offer an alternative to killing children. I don't care how little you send it to me, Father Tom, Holy Rosary, Winthrop, 02152. Just put my name on it. I'll endorse them, and we'll mail the checks to them. This is simple. Father Tom, Holy Rosary, Winthrop. Today's the Feast of the Holy Rosary. 02152. It's very important that we do something like this. And you know, no amount of money is too small. Even a couple of bucks. Even a couple of bucks. Because you see, this is vital. How can we say we're pro-life if we don't care for people that are pouring their hearts out? Father Tom, Holy Rosary, Winthrop, Mass, 02152. Lord Jesus Christ, give us the grace to repent so that we would not be in the depths of darkness that we are in now, that our land again would respond, and that the economy would respond, because we place you first, because you are the Lord, and everything comes from you. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.